Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to the official England podcast. I'm Adam Smith and I have just about recovered from Wednesday night, but it still feels good to say the following sentence. Yes, England are through to their first Euros final in history. Unbelievable. What a game that semi-final was. Denmark putting up a big challenge for us, but the Three Lions persevered and will now face Italy on Sunday night at Wembley Stadium to decide who lifts that coveted trophy. I, for one, cannot wait. We are in the home stretch on the podcast, and I'll be here with you every step of the way to guide you to the final. We've got a lot to get through today, so here's what's coming up. We'll bring you the latest from St George's Park as the Three Lions begin training for the final. Kyle Walker, who put in a proper shift on Wednesday, how good was he, by the way, stepped into the Lions' den.
I thought, if I can score this rebound to get England into the final, no one could say anything to me again. So I was ready. But then I froze.
Now, both of us have calmed down a bit, so me and Josh will be reliving that incredible semi-final win.
Suddenly, it goes in and it was pandemonium, let me tell you. I think there was six or seven people that I became best friends with, about four and five rows behind me.
And I spoke exclusively to the Stockport Iniesta, Phil Foden.
Just to score that goal to get us in the final, you know, if I felt like I scored, you could see me emotion. It was just a special moment to share with the fans.
Listening to the official England podcast.
So England are through to their first final in a major tournament for 55 years. It never gets old saying that, does it? That is the longest gap, incidentally, between final appearances for any European nation in the history of the World Cup and Euros. They'll face Italy on Sunday at Wembley Stadium in what promises to be an incredible game, no matter what the outcome. Roberto Mancini's side have beaten the likes of Austria, Belgium and Spain in the knockout stages to get to the final, making it the fourth time they have made it this far. But they have only won it once, way back in 1968. Italy midfielder Marco Verratti has been speaking to the press ahead of the final, singling out Raheem Sterling as someone his team will have to be wary of, describing him as a fantastic player, and went on to say that he thinks it will be an epic final and history-making. Either way, Sunday can't come soon enough. Back to the Three Lions now, and after their semi-final win over Denmark, 13 players took part in yesterday afternoon's training session back at St George's Park, with Jack Grealish and Jordan Henderson joining Wednesday's starting 11, working indoors. Now, joining me on the official England podcast now is a man who looks a lot more fresh-faced than when I last saw him at Wembley Way last night. Josh Denzel, you seem to be enjoying yourself, as we all did, mate.
I was definitely enjoying it. It's not many times you see England win, you know, a semi-final at Wembley. True. With that atmosphere. I thought, you know, I might as well. Hopefully we'll get this chance again, but you never know. Like, my dad fought these things as well, so I'm going to embrace this opportunity right now and have a few beers.
Fair play to you, mate. Let's talk about it. We were both there. Yeah. What a game. I mean, unbelievable result, wasn't it, for England, that. It's a historical night, mate.
Oh, completely. It's incredible, like, being there. And like I was saying to you a bit earlier, like, it's we're so used to it not quite falling for us with England that when it does happen, you almost start to go, hang on, what's this? This ain't in the script. Like, it's,
what's this?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like, just having that moment, seeing like Foden look, just staring into the crowd and embracing it, and it's like, these guys are fans like us, and it's like, just to be shared that with the players and with 60,000, and the noise was incredible. It's just an unbelievable day.
Got to talk about the atmosphere, mate. It was special, wasn't it?
I've been to a few games at Wembley, but I've never experienced it like that. No. Never experienced it like that. And in those moments where maybe like 5 minutes were, the tempo wasn't quite as high, it was the fans that really brought the players up and like that energy, and you could feel it. It was just reverberating around and singing Sweet Caroline, you know what I mean? It's special. I'm lost for. I'm not often. I'm lost for words, mate.
I love the fact that you are lost for words. What was your reaction then? Go on, because I was sat in a different part of the stadium, so I wasn't with you. Just talk me through how you reacted, Josh, when Kane's goal hit the back of the net.
Oh, mate! Like when the penalty when Kasper got to it, I was thinking, not again. We can't do this. And then within a split second, I see the net bulge, and it was on the other side to us. So it was down the other end. So like for a while, I was a little bit confused for a second about why that. You know, when Kane takes a penalty, he takes a penalty. You know what I mean? So I was a bit confused at why the net hadn't rippled, and then suddenly it goes in, and it was pandemonium. Yeah. Let me tell you, I think there was six or seven people that I became best friends with about four and five rows behind me.
Same with me, mate. It was like being at a festival, wasn't it, or a gig. I felt like, just with the tunes, pretty much everyone singing and dancing. It was such a special atmosphere. Talk me through what's been going on today then. When did you get back, mate?
Probably best not to dwell on when I got back, Smithy. But if we're talking about home or St George's Park, it's a different question. But I drove up from Wembley to St George's Park today, got here around 2 o'clock. I had Carl Walker on the show. Excellent. He's really, really good. I guess shouldn't be surprised. He was in a great mood, but he was in a show, and he had a lot of really, really interesting and quite a good perspective on what's been going on in the camp and how the boys are feeling and how important the fans are.
Well, like the true pro that you are, Josh, it's great that you mentioned Carl Walker, because we can have a listen to your chat with him in Lions Den now.
3 days away from our first final in 55 years. How does the game yesterday match up in your long list of accolades and huge games that you played in?
Obviously, as you've just said, I've been very fortunate to play in a lot of big games. But this is, it's definitely on par. On par with every one of them. It's something special. When you put on an England shirt, I think definitely in the last 4 years, it means something now.
Yeah.
It means something. We've created history. I've heard a lot of people talking about England haven't won a knockout game, England haven't won a penalty shootout, England haven't got this, England haven't got that. And this group of lads with the manager and the coaching staff, we just keep knocking them down. And hopefully we've set the bar now for, the future youngsters that are coming through, that this is what our country wants and expects of us. They're the nights that make, your career. They're the nights that people, will remember you for. It's the first time I've probably heard the England fans shouting, ole, ole, because we're keeping the ball.
Yeah.
But that's about game management. That's about us as stepping from boys to men and saying, you know what, we're 2-1 up, they've got 10 men. What are we going at them for? Scoring 3-1 doesn't make us go through. 2-1's fine. Now let's keep the ball and make sure we don't do anything stupid. And, save your legs a little bit for the final. And I think that little steps like that, little factors like that, that this team has learned over the last four years, we'll call it, from the Euros, is big steps in the right direction.
Well, as someone who's been to Wembley a few times, it felt different yesterday, like the noise, the atmosphere, the confidence. Did you feel that as a player?
I've been playing international football now, I think, 11 years. I think that in Germany is the best I've witnessed in an England shirt at Wembley. It's one of them things that these emotions and these types of games, they grab hold of you. And I can assure you that you have to give us one more. I'm wanting one more from you, because that 12th man, it's vital.
We have players on here who go, it's much more nerve-wracking when you're watching from the sideline. I mean, we saw Trips, he couldn't actually watch H's penalty. But you was ready to follow up. You know what I mean? You was there.
I'm never normally there. I'm normally on the halfway line.
Yeah, yeah.
Thinking if they ever flipping... kick it up the field. I've got to run and catch it. And I, for some reason, I just felt I need to be there. And I thought, if I can score this rebound, Kyle Walker scores the rebound to get England into the final. No one could say anything to me again.
You
couldn't
gone
say
clear,
anything
mate.
To me. Yeah. Don't at me, don't do anything. Don't say anything about me. So I thought, I'm going to try and get myself there. But I think I'm getting in all these things. I think I've got to get there as quick as possible.
You stood there, you know, like...
Yeah, I was ready. But then I froze. So I don't know if you've seen it. I've like, he's ran and took it. But I'm too busy looking up to see where the ball's going.
Yeah, yeah.
All the Denmark defenders are in front of me, so I'm glad he's got the rebound.
No one would have beat you to it either. God, man in the world.
I know, but I seen the headlines, but it didn't happen. It didn't happen.
Mate, so much to take out from that, Josh, but I love the fact, the line that I loved was when he was talking about making their own history and sort of overcoming hurdles and setting the bar for the future. As fans, that's just great to hear that, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I think that... You know, it's funny because a lot of kids growing up watching England, you know, in the last 5 years, you know, they'll expect semi-finals. They'll expect, yeah, do you know what I mean? They'll expect finals. They'll expect silverware. You know, this hasn't always been the case. So, like, they've set the bar so high. But I think that with the talent that we've got coming through, it's just only going to get better and better. And, like, he said something really, really interesting about, yeah, like, it's kind of an evolution of that 2018 side. And it does feel that way. You know, I feel like they've learned a lot from maybe some mistakes at that time or do a lot of stuff better than they already did well. So it's incredible.
Yeah, I thought it was an amazing performance from Kyle Walker. It's tough to pick certain individuals, but he just seems to get quicker every time I watch him. Tell us what's coming up next then on Lions Den, because like us, no days off. But I'm sure you agree, mate, we're not complaining, because it's just brilliant to still be in and amongst the England squad, ahead of the final, mate. Every time I say that, I just get excited.
I almost had a twinge of it, right, at 8 a.m. this morning when I woke up and I had a long drive to St. George's Park, but I quickly washed that off and I said, no, we're here. And, it's going to be an interesting one because we're going to actually head down to Wembley Way from now on. So we'll be doing all of our shows from Wembley Way. We'll be linking up with the players via video link. We've got Mingsy, we've got Cody on a video link, so it should be great fun. Like, it's just going to go up and up. Like, the energy, the week before the final, is going to be special.
Great to hear, Josh. We'll have to catch up with you again before the final. And fingers crossed, mate, England win one game away
one game
from lifting that trophy. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Fingers crossed the boys can do it. Mate, pleasure to speak to you as always.
Pleasure, Smithy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You're listening to the official England podcast.
I'm delighted to say joining me on the official England podcast now, I can see he's smiling just what last night meant to him, is Phil Foden. Phil, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to say how are you, but I'm guessing you're pretty good after last night.
Definitely no, obviously. Best moment in my career so far to reach a final in our home stadium with the fans. Unbelievable feeling.
Phil, the first time in the history of English football that England have got to the final of Euros. I mean, it's something special is going on with this group of players, isn't it?
Yeah, it just shows how special the squad is, how much work we've put in. you know, it's been difficult without seeing the families as much as normal. And yeah, we were just so delighted to reach the final. And yeah, it's what we deserve.
What was it like playing in that game? Because I was lucky enough to be at the game. And just as a fan, I was drained afterwards just watching it because it was such an emotive game. So I just wondered from your perspective, sort of being involved in such a high adrenaline game like that, what that was like.
Yeah, I can imagine for the fans, you know, being so nervous.
Yeah.
When Harry's stepping up for the penalty. But, you know, it just shows the class of the players. We never looked nervous, controlled the game. And yeah, we lived up to it and was just all delighted to get the result in the end.
And of course, Harry Kane's goal, there is an amazing shots of you celebrating and your face. I don't know if you've seen it back, but your face, it's just like, I don't think I've ever seen that emotion from players just celebrating a goal so much. I mean, talk me through what you were going through. You look like you were on cloud nine at that moment.
Honestly, it's what you dream of a kid, you know, playing. Yeah. Playing for England and just to score that goal to get us in the final. You know, I felt like I scored personally.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Class.
I was like, you know, you could see me emotion. And yeah, everyone was together and it was just a special moment to share with the fans.
I've got to ask you about the fans. You mentioned them there. You've played in some huge games, of course, for club and country. But the atmosphere was unreal. I mean, it was so good, so good, so good, wasn't it? As the song goes, Phil. It was unreal, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you could just feel all the fans behind us. You know, it just motivates you more and, you know, gives that extra few percent that you might need on the night.
What was that moment like when you were stepping onto the pitch? What was Gareth saying? So I saw you had a few words with Gareth. I just wondered sort of what he was saying and how you were feeling as you were stepping onto the pitch.
Yeah, you know, I've played wide recently for England. So he let me know that was coming on in midfield. So it's a new role for me. Yeah, he was just giving me information where to go and what to do. And yeah, I was just excited to get on and try and make things happen.
And at the end of the game, you did look quite emotional. You were chatting to Jack Grealish. I just wondered what was being said. Was it just trying to take it all in, I suppose?
I just said to him, oh man, I can't believe that we've made it to the final.
Really?
And yeah, it was nice to share that moment with him. Such a special player. And it just shows the togetherness the group has.
Yeah, do you know what, mate? Every single player I've spoken to has mentioned how good the team spirit is. It's so evident to see and it's so class to hear you say that as well. What did you do afterwards? Just talk me through the logistics and your movements after the game finished because it was a late one, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we obviously had the music on in the change room, had a little celebration and that. But yeah, we had to come back down to St George's Park on the bus, so we didn't get back till early hours.
Who was on the decks on the bus? Were there a bit of music going on? I just wondered who was sort of in control of that.
Yeah, so what it is, we have a few people playing a speaker at the front of the bus, right. And there's one played at the back.
Oh, is it?
Unfortunately, I sit in the middle, so I can hear a bit of ball.
Quality.
So it's absolutely headache. So I put my headset on and trying to watch something. It's not the greatest.
Why do you have two speakers front and back there? What's the reason behind that?
I think the people at the front are into different music than the people in the back.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
Is Mingsy at the front?
That's it. It's Mingsy, Connor and Hendo at the front.
Yeah, right.
And then you got like Raz, Sanch, their kind of music at the back. And then you get me stuck in the middle of it, one out of each ear, which ain't great. But
class, best of both. What is your sort of music? So if you were on the decks then, what would Phil Foden be playing on the way back to St John's Park?
I'm into my old school stuff, R&B. Just not grew out of it. It's stuck with me forever.
Nice bit of R&B. A few of the lads have said that actually. They're into a bit of R&B. Yeah. It's good to hear that. How do you get to sleep? I've always wondered this, like with the adrenaline of such a big game. Is it really tough to try and actually get some rest after a massive game like that?
I'm a bad sleeper after games anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But especially when you've made it to a final, it's even harder. But, you know, once we got back to St George's, we all tried to get the sleep that we need. And it was a later start today to help us get the right sleep. So, yeah, it always helps.
Got to ask you about Gareth Southgate because the environment and the squad and the togetherness that he seems to have created just seems unbelievable. What would you like to say about how well the England manager has done in this tournament?
You know, just enjoyed working with him every day. You know, even the ones who hasn't played are still happy and still supporting the players that are playing. And that's the environment he creates. He's got everyone's back. And yeah, like I said, I'm just enjoying working underneath him.
Yeah, class. And of course, here and all the coaching staff, there's a lot of entertainment on there to keep you busy. I've asked this to all the players. I just wonder what Phil Foden is doing in his downtime. It's a long tournament, isn't it? So I just wonder what you're doing to keep yourself busy.
Yeah, watching a bit of Netflix. We're lucky here. We have a bit of basketball, a bit of darts, a bit of pool. So yeah, there's a few things to keep you busy through the day. Obviously, I've been watching Love Island as well.
Yeah, all the boys are into that, aren't they?
Yeah, we all love watching it.
Is that because Josh is in there? Is Josh getting you all into Love Island? Is that how it works?
Nah, not at all. You know, we just love watching it together and, you know, having a bit of banter.
And I've got to ask you about the basketball as well. We've seen a lot of the lads. What are you like? What are your basketball techers like?
I've never played basketball before, so.
Or ever? You've never played basketball before?
Nah, never. So.
Wow.
It's new to me. I've had a few shots in that. I'm not that bad, but I'm more of a darts player, so I enjoy playing darts.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why I find that really interesting, but you've never thrown a basketball before England camp. Wow.
Nah, never played it.
Wow, and how'd you get on then when you took to the court?
It's not too bad, you know, not too bad.
Love it. Got a more serious note, looking ahead, the next game, the final of the year. Euros, England against Italy at Wembley Stadium. Just talk to me about your emotions heading into this one.
Like I said, you know, there's going to be so many emotions with the fans and that, but you know, the players have just got to stay focused and just treat it like the first game of the tournament. Don't change nothing because we've been brilliant every game. Hopefully we can get over the line.
Yeah, and what would it mean to you? What would it mean to Phil Foden to win the Euros with England? Because you've achieved so much. I've spoken to you so many times and you've achieved so much at such a young age. But what would it mean if you were to beat Italy and win the Euros?
Definitely my proudest moment. Nothing beats, you know, winning for your national team. So yeah, it'd be my proudest moment.
And will we see the squad with the full Phil Foden haircut if that does happen?
I've told them, but you know, I'm kind of like not feeling that they're going to do it. So,
oh, really?
You know, obviously we've still got a tough final to win. Yeah. Yeah, if we win, I'd like to think that they would stick with the word, but you know, we'll have to see.
We will have to see. Phil, you're a top bloke. Great to catch up with you as always, mate. All the best on behalf of all the country for the final, mate.
Thank you. Nice chatting to you, mate.
There's no extra time on this podcast today. Thank goodness for that. It means I'm off to watch the match highlights for a 112th time. But do come back tomorrow where we'll be looking ahead. And I can't not say this sentence without a huge smile on my face to England's first final in a major tournament since 1966. How good does that sound? Yes, England versus Italy, and we'll be bringing you everything you need to know in the build-up to that historic game. You won't want to miss it. So, you know the drill by now. Hit that subscribe button to get your daily exclusive interviews and news straight from the Three Lions camp. Until then, see you tomorrow. Stay safe, and come on, England.